Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Muslim American organizations have consistently condemned terrorist violence here and abroad since 9/11, arguing that such violence is strictly condemned by Islam. Still, a recent study from Ohio State University found increasing distrust of Muslim Americans even after the death of Osama bin Laden. David Schanzer, director of the Triangle Center on Terrorism and Homeland Security at Duke University and UNC Chapel Hill, joins us to discuss the growing anti-Islamic sentiment in this country and why steps must be taken to continue to build trust between Muslim American communities and government officials. Well, thanks for being with us on News and Views again. We appreciate your time.
Happy to be here.
I want to ask you several specifics about where we are, but first, what are your thoughts as we now mark the 10th anniversary of the September 11th attacks?
Well, of course, first and foremost, it's a sad time to remember the people who perished that day and their families, and of course, all of our service members and members of our intelligence agencies who have made, you know, huge sacrifices, been injured or killed abroad in responding to the 9/11 attacks. So I think our first thoughts are with them.
I know you've done a lot of work trying to understand public attitudes and how folks feel about the attacks, I guess, in Muslim Americans. Where are we in terms of our attitudes about Muslim folks in the United States and around the world?
Well, there have been some recent polls of Muslim Americans, first of all, and what their feelings are. And what's interesting is they still feel strongly about America and American commitment to American values, really, as they did since 9/11. And those numbers have actually in some ways strengthened over the past couple of years. So that's interesting. However, they report life has become more difficult for them since 9/11. And that the concerns they have are very different from most Americans, and that what affects their lives most are being accused of being a terrorist, of having discrimination, acts against their religion, as opposed to some of the economic concerns that are really motivating and concerning non-Muslim Americans.
Are you surprised that that sentiment is still present and it seems in some ways even growing now 10 years after the attacks?
Yes, I am. I'm disappointed, I think, by it. Here we've had, you know, what you could really say has been a successful 10 years in our counterterrorism efforts. We set out to prevent large-scale 9/11-like al-Qaeda attacks, and that's really what we've done. Have we had some misguided Muslim Americans take some actions, such as the Fort Hood shooter who killed 13 people? Yes, but I think if you take those in context over the course of the decade, those incidents have been relatively modest. And so I'm disappointed that a lot of people have embraced this kind of anti-Islamic sentiment and that, in my view, it is spread kind of into the mainstream of American society.
Well, I want to ask you about that. I know Governor Christie of New Jersey appointed a Muslim American to a judgeship and was promptly attacked for trying to spread Sharia law, I think, through New Jersey, and reacted quite strongly and blamed what he said were the crazies, I think in his own party he was referring to. But you think it's spread into the mainstream, or is it because the political mainstream has shifted so far?
Well, I think when you see presidential candidates say things like, well, we have creeping Sharia law in the United States. Now, these aren't candidates who are going to win, but nonetheless, they're big enough names to consider running for president. When you had one candidate, he's now backtracked on this, say that he wouldn't appoint a Muslim to his cabinet. You know, I think it has. And the numbers of non-Muslim Americans who've been polled about their attitudes have shown a greater unease over time with Islam, a concern that it endorses violence, which it does not. So I think to have more public figures like Chris Christie stand up to elements in the Republican Party doing that is an extremely healthy thing.
Well, and that brings me to my next question. What can we do about this increasing hostility toward Muslim Americans? What can average people do, and what needs to happen in the larger discourse?
I think a couple of things. Education is usually the answer to most of our ills. And I think getting more education about what Islam is, what its beliefs are. I think interfaith dialogue and activities between churches, synagogues, mosques is incredibly powerful for us to do with our kids and our adults. And then I'd like to see political leaders and community leaders doing things with the Muslim community, being out there, having their picture taken, whether it's a large community or a small one, to show that we're all in this together and we support each other, and that Muslim Americans are just that. They're strong Americans. They believe in American values, and they're part of our national fabric.
You mentioned some of the presidential candidates, and I guess the concern is that in a highly political year, presidential election year, that fear has long been used as a weapon in political campaigns, and Muslim Americans seem to be feeling the brunt of it. Is it those things you mentioned, don't they seem difficult in a year when we're sort of hyper-political?
Maybe I'm idealistic. It would be nice if our politicians catered to our higher virtues, like tolerance and our traditional American pluralism and the strength that we gain from diversity, from immigration. Immigrants, are constantly replenishing our society and bringing ideas and creativity and jobs. And it would be refreshing to have a politician stand up for those things instead of appealing to our kind of baser instincts, which are to see a problem and try to blame a group of people who we don't know or understand or who are different from us, kind of simplistically say, well, it's all because of them. It's just not the case.
And finally, what role do universities have? You're at Duke. I remember, it was not that many years ago, UNC Chapel Hill had Approaching the Quran as a summer reading, which sort of set off a firestorm, but at least there was some public debate about it. What role do our universities have in this?
Well, I've been impressed, actually, as my teaching is now starting the seventh year. The students who come in actually know more about the topic now than they did 7 years ago, and they know more about Islam. They know more about the history of how fundamentalist Islam created and how Al-Qaeda was formed, and universities play a great role in really educating our young people and getting them equipped to participate in this debate over this issue, which this is our 10th anniversary. Hopefully it's a diminished part of our public life when we hit the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Let's hope so, and thank you for what you're doing, and we really appreciate your thoughts, and thanks for being with us.
Happy to do so.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.